Welcome to North 2. I'm Corey from Peat.fm. On today's episode, I speak with New York City, Berlin-based artist, She's Excited. We discuss her collaborative music, augmented reality, and understanding death. Don't panic and get ready to explore your own narrative with She's Excited. And welcome to Peat.fm. And we're going to be broadcasting this on our podcast, North 2. I'm Corey Luna, of course, and Rich Hogben is the person behind the mirror, or the curtain, of course. Again, thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. And could you tell me just a quick introduction, your artist name, and what you produce?
Cool. Thanks so much for having me here. I'm really excited. And this leads me to my artist name. Yeah, my artist name is She's Excited. I'm an electronic music producer and performer, and I'm writing my own songs and music. And it's quite genre bending, I think. And I have my fingers in a lot of different projects and collectives.
And I've noticed that from your website, of course, was it a she's-excited.com? I went through everything that I could read within about a day. Found a lot of information there. About the about section has a lot of information that I was very excited to learn about the different projects you've worked with beyond music, but also within altered reality or 3D
augmented reality or extended reality.
Let's start out with my first question. What inspired your journey into music and augmented reality?
I always was interested my whole life in not only music, but in different forms of art. And I don't know, whenever I had the chance to get my hand on tools that I could use. And I mean, when I started out making music, it was just like a basic video camera that was exciting at that time, you know, or like a four track that I could use, or even like a drum set, because I couldn't afford one. But like, if somebody like made that available for me, like, I was always really happy to use different forms of art. I'm just somebody who loves to be creative. And I often have ideas about projects or about showcases that I would never be able to do on my own. I feel very much drawn to music, and that's really something that I love to do, and I try to hone my skills throughout the years. So this is where I feel like, okay, this I'm a professional in. But all the other forms of media, I'm certainly not. And I very much understand that. And I do not have the time to be a professional musician and then to be a professional, whatever, visual artist, 3D artist, et cetera, et cetera. So whenever I have ideas involving other types of media and technology, I try to collaborate with other people, which is wonderful, because then not only I get to know amazing other artists and people involved in the art world, but also the projects grow and new ideas, not only my ideas, are in this project, and everything just gets better and fuller, and the new perspectives come in. And so this is also something that I enjoy very, very much. And in 2020, with the whole lockdown and everybody was at home, and with a friend of mine, I started doing like online VR concerts and stuff like that. And augmented reality just felt to me is a very social tool compared to virtual reality, right? Because in virtual reality, at least before the era of the standard pass-through, you were alone in your goggles. And I mean, you can meet the avatars or the video screens and faces of other people. But with augmented reality, you're actually with other people. And when the lockdown fell and people could actually be together again, that was just very exciting new technology to me to use. And I felt it was at least very often only used for visuals. and not really for sound. Like, I feel the whole NFT hype and AR, VR, and at a certain point of time were really focused on the visual arts. And I always thought it would be so fun to actually include audio, not just as a backing soundtrack or something like that, but to actually have sound as an important game player in this medium. And this is why I started working with that. Yeah.
Wow.
That makes so much sense. You could only really have time to focus on one artistic section of audio and then bring in collaborators to bring it all into perspective, to bring all the other elements of creativity together.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, and it's wonderful. It makes my creative life so much more fun. It's always super nice to work with other people.
It really is. What about, so tell me, what brought Extended Reality Ensemble together?
So the Extended Reality Ensemble, short XRE. XRE is an international artist collective, and Clara Francesca, who is an actor and a poet, and I, we co-founded the Extended Reality Ensemble in 2020. We actually met online during the lockdown, and we were figuring out how can we actually still work together? What could we do? How can we bring people with so very different backgrounds together, be it in a virtual room or in a real room, and create art together and hear every different voice from different countries, different communities, and different artistic backgrounds. And this is how the journey began. And in a way, XRE is two-folded. Like, on the one hand, we are creating pieces of art. Like, our focus is very much on interdisciplinary, and we sometimes use new technologies. But the second part is it's always interactive. So we include the audience in the piece, which is a thrill because you give away control, right? It's like I call it like a form of democratization of art, right? It's not just the artist is in control and the audience is supposed to listen or to look, but actually the artist, we are preparing things so that the audience can become artists as well. And then they have the control, and then it's scary and you don't know what actually is going to happen, but it's wonderful if you understand what needs to be prepared so that the showcase can actually be fun and that it can work. And it's not just like, I don't know, becoming a chaotic, wild event, but that it actually becomes something where people come together and create something together. It is something that really fulfills me. It's wonderful to see strangers come together and start creating together and yeah, see like from all age groups, kids until like not even their grandparents, but just elderly people that stumble into the room. And it's just wonderful to see that faces light up. And it's a very different experience for audience members, I think, compared to you go to a concert and sit down and then you just listen to music, which is wonderful. Don't get me wrong, but it's just a very different thing if the audience is actually perhaps even taken out of their comfort zone. Like for some people, it's great. They just want to participate and they're just like, yay, like on a playground. But for some people, you can see it's like they're hesitant. They're like, oh, what? I'm supposed to do something. And then this really does something to them. If you create a safe space where everybody feels welcome, there's no pressure or anything, it can be such a beautiful, beautiful experience for everybody. And when people leave the room, like a group leaves the room, like strangers come in and after the experience, it feels like they are more together than they were before. That's nice.
Wow. Sounds like such a cool experience. What, did you have a recent concert within this, within the, oh, is it, within, I'm sorry. Yes.
With XRE, right now, because Clara's and my solo careers are also very, very busy at the moment, we're trying to do like one big thing a year. And the big thing this year was we created an interactive spatial sound installation in Berlin for the Manifest IO Festival. And that was really amazing. Like, we did a workshop with the audience just the day before the festival started. And then I basically had like one afternoon to edit everything together. I recorded the audience and then I edited everything together. And then for 2 days, everybody who came to the festival could actually interact through hashtag MIDI controllers. And we collaborated with the Spatial Media Lab in Berlin, and they brought like a spatial sound system with 16 speakers on 3 different layers. And that was really, really wonderful.
Wow.
And the showcase, just if people are interested, the showcase was called Letters Without Borders, and it's about immigration and the tendency of humans to create otherness rather than togetherness, and how we can actually overcome that.
Wow, that's a very important message. That's extremely relevant right now. That sounds like a wonderful experience to experience that show. That sounds like something I would love to experience someday.
Yeah, hopefully we can bring it to New York City. That will be beautiful, right?
Yeah, if any city in America, definitely New York City is the place to do it in. I would think so.
Yeah, that would be great. Also, for us, it's convenient because we're both based in New York City. So in the U.S., this is always like our starting point, and then we can bring it to different cities. Yeah,
definitely. Tell me about your involvement with Aurora, collaborating with the artists and inclusivity in New York City.
In December 2021, I had the idea. This was, again, one of those ideas where I thought, this is a great idea and I would love to realize it, yet I am not the person that actually can realize it because it's not my artistic field. So I had this idea that we could create a new balance in our public landscapes. If you look at the statues and monuments in our city, and it's not just New York City. It's like, if you statistically look at any city in the world, it's basically only men and basically only white men who are on pedestals, usually on horses, very often war glorifying. And I thought, it's really tough to change that, because to get permission to set up a new statue and even just like to create a new statue, it takes such a long time and funding and all the permits. And it's basically not doable. And so I thought augmented reality is such a wonderful medium, because even if you do not get a permit, you can still bring statues into the public landscape through augmented reality. And when I had that idea, I talked to Clara, the other co-founder of XRE, and I asked her if she would like to realize that with me, and she was a big yes. And then we asked Katie Payton Hofstetter and Nam Le, and we basically co-founded Aurora. And so the four of us, we realized this with more than 40 artists, I think. The New York City Showcase was the kickoff of this network of augmented reality monuments honoring women and non-binary people. And we brought 31 statues to New York City, which was really exciting, you know. And yeah, it was like, since you asked like how it was to work with the artists, it was amazing. I mean, basically what we did was we tried to give them creative freedom whenever they needed help. We provided help. If they just wanted to realize their own vision, we supported that. And we took care of all the background and the PR and the press and the website and technical support, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. I got a chance to look at a few of the virtual pieces there just on through the website. And I really like the idea of going into a public space where there is already, you know, a statue or a public art piece, and
virtually placing something else in front of it, beside it, that has a completely different meaning within that space. I really enjoyed seeing that. That was really cool.
Yeah, like on top of it, this is what we really try to do when curating these showcases, to try to place the augmented reality monuments in like squares or in spots where already monuments were, and to tell a story through that, right? For example, in Columbus Circle, we placed Lozen, a female Apache warrior, to actually tell that side of the story, right? So many stories are untold in our history books just because men wrote these history books and white men wrote these history books. And that was just something that on top of it all, like people were, like the audience was invited to look at really wonderful art pieces. But if they wanted to think about it and if they wanted to get deeper into the topic, they could learn so much about history and about like why this man is there, but what is missing from the story and how can we actually create this balance to tell everything.
Yeah, it was such a fascinating concept that I was in New York back in about a month ago. Yeah, in early June. And I was just there for a few days with my partner for a couple events, and we went to a few museum and just really enjoyed the city. But this is again something that I'm hoping to see expand. I'm hoping to see Aurora expand into other cities so that we can have these experiences and have augmented reality become more and more part of the technology that we perceive art into.
Yeah, this would be amazing. I realized a couple of showcases in Germany, which was great. And in Germany, I managed that in Munich, there is one AR statue now permanently in the public landscape, which was a big deal. I managed to realize that 3 years ago, I want to say, Tamiko Thiel is the artist. And her piece is a commentary on a very controversial monument that we have in Munich. Munich is my hometown. And then the city of Worms, which is a small city in northern Germany, they just bought the Aurora showcase, which is great. So they started our showcase like 1.5 years ago, and they decided to keep it permanently in the city, which is really, really wonderful. It's a big change. And it gives me hope that perhaps more and more cities are going to realize that this could be a way to actually create more inclusive cities, history-wise.
That's such a, I really hope that becomes the reality. That's such a wonderful idea. That's really cool.
Fingers crossed.
Okay. Well, another thing that happened that I was very curious about that I saw on your website, that I wanted to know more about, how has winning the NYSEA fellowship helped your creative vision?
The NISCA fellowship I wrote for a project called You Are Bootyful, or You Are Bootyful, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And it's a showcase that I realized with Clara from XRE and two XRE collaborators, Brittany Kurtinek and Witt Sellers. And it is an interactive showcase about the biases of AI, especially graphic apps. And just for people to actually understand that it's not the app that is biased, but us humans that provide the data for the app to be trained on. And this fellowship, it was great that we got it. It was really, really great because not only did it help us to actually develop the full piece and bring it to New York City and perform it, but also it gave us the opportunity to actually bring it to the Ars Electronica Festival in Austria. It's the biggest art tech festival in Europe. It's very prestigious, and the fellowship helped us to develop the piece, and without it, we couldn't have shown it in different circumstances. So that was really great. Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool. Thank you for telling me about that. I had no idea about Austria being such a place for this.
This is really unique. It's a festival that was founded in the 1970s, and it's not as big as South by Southwest, but I think it's kind of a European equivalent when it comes to this is the festival to be every year if you're interested in art, technology, and society.
Very cool. There's so much going on in the world. It's so hard to like keep track of everything, but I'm always happy to learn about it.
I hear you.
Do you have, so originally I was going to ask you, do you have favorite synthesizers? But obviously maybe that's not exactly the question I should be asking you, but more of in your music production, what tools are your favorite go-tos that have gone through different albums and songs and worked with you throughout different times through your musical career?
Yeah, when you asked, like when I read the question about the synths, my go-to, the thing is I'm traveling a lot. Like for the past 4 years, I've just been traveling a lot back and forth since I'm from Germany, as you can hear, and I get booked in Germany and in other European countries, which is great. And so I never, also like when I came to the US, we just moved with a backpack. Like there was never this material thing like having a studio and having like a lot of things, like big things. I was always like a minimalist. Like I need a great laptop and I need great headphones. And this is it, because then I can work on the plane and I can just travel, like work on the train and wherever I am. And this is not that I do not like gear. And whenever I get into a studio, it's really fun, you know. And I own instruments and everything. Yet when it really comes to the gist of it, it's just me. I'm very often not even using a MIDI keyboard. I'm just like playing the drums on my like laptop keyboard and stuff like that. This is just my MO. An instrument that I'm always using, like so far since I created it, is actually a sampler that I created with my own vocal samples. Like when I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, this bit is probably the only instrument that I'm always using. I'm always interested in new sounds, and I don't know, it's just I have an issue with having ideas that follow a brand. I do not have that. I have ideas and I want to realize these ideas, or the ideas have me, whatever. I have no clue where ideas are coming from. So whatever this is that is happening in the creative process, I am certainly not somebody who has a brand. I am an artist that loves to play around and to dip into different genres and to just create, because the process of doing that is exciting, and repeating myself is just not in the cards. It's just something that I am not drawn to. It just doesn't happen. And so hence the instruments are just always different. And this usually, like every album of mine has a very different sound than the one before that. So yeah, that's just how it is.
That's something that I really appreciate and admire, is the orchestra of different sounds I'm hearing when I'm going through your catalog from current to a couple of years ago, and your productions are very rich, top class style, where everything, I can hear everything. Everything sounds wonderful and perfect. And then there's these wonderful, I'm not sure if it's the collaborators you're working with, but there's always seems to be like a variety of different types of textures, and I can hear almost different decades coming out. Like I can hear a lot of 90s coming out and a lot of some 80s coming out of everything, because you've got a lot of great bass lines that are very catchy, and that catches my ear. I go, this is something really groovy, but there's also something very funky about it at the same time. Like there's a lot of soul that I hear when I'm listening to your albums. And that's something that I think goes back to your production.
Thank you very much.
It fascinates me to hear these things.
The 80s and 90s are certainly decades that influenced me a lot. This is where I grew up, you know. Mm-hmm. The other day, I'm working with my brother. I have an alternative electronic and not an electronic rock duo. And we're working on our next release. We're nearly done. And we were thinking about, okay, so how does that sound like? And I'm like, yeah, this doesn't sound like alternative electronic rock. It is. But, and then I thought, it is the orchestration. It is like Angel from Massive Attack. Like, you know what you said, like these sound layers and something. This is just something that I'm drawn to. I'm drawn to the drama. I think I want the drama in my music. I don't know. I need to get the drama out of my system. And music is a very beautiful tool to do that, actually.
That makes so much sense. Listening to your music and hearing the layers, the way you describe it, the layers, and you're working out the drama. That makes so much sense. Speaking of, one of your tracks that really caught my ear is My Death. And I hear your vocal choice between pop and minimal is nurturing to the listener and is almost like has tranquility and almost is a celebration of life at the end. I was curious if you could just tell me more in depth about what inspired you to write that track, My Death?
I've been thinking that I need to cope with my fear of death since I was a teenager. I figured this is an obstacle that I have and that I guess everybody has. Probably it's humanity's biggest fear to die. And it's so wild since it's inevitable. And I figured I need to find a way and a mindset to not be afraid to die. And I guess to really like not only feel that thought, but to say that thought. I was probably 16 or 17. So since then, I'm actually thinking a lot about death. And I also think that it would be great for us as humans to not shy away from that topic. Sometimes, at least in our Western culture, it seems to be a kind of taboo. It's a very sad topic, and I understand that. My mom died very suddenly, and certainly that was very horrible, and it certainly changed my whole life. Yet I think it's supposed to be a topic that we should talk about more so that we can take the fear away from it and talk about it in a healthy, good sense, in a perhaps even calm sense, perhaps with a, I don't know, with a little bit of fun or like joking or whatever. And I started writing that song when I was just walking across a cemetery, and I just felt like, hey, I just started singing that, you know. I just started singing the hook line of the song, and I just turned around, got to my bike, went home, and I just wrote the song. And I think philosophically, when I was like 17, 18, I read like all these Carlos Castaneda books, and in the Toltec culture, apparently, you have this thought that death is just walking next to you, like an arm length next to you all the time, just to remind you how precious life is and that you're here alive right now, you know, like in this positive sense, in this like full sense of seizing what you can actually do right now and enjoying what you can. And yeah, this inspired me to write the song, you know.
That makes a lot of sense. Having, you know, brushes with death, of course, myself, that make that it that resonates with me is probably why I enjoyed the song. One, the production was really good, and the lyrics caught my attention very much. And even with the idea of death being around us constantly, one of my favorite authors, Terry Pratchett, is known for his Discworld books, and death is a character in there, and it's a rather humorous kind of portrayal of death. But I like that very much, where it's like you don't fear death. Death is a character in the book. And death has a life, and death has a predecessor, and there's all kinds of aspects to it. And like the wizards can speak to death, and they can see him, and that is just, it makes it fun. And I really enjoy that aspect of, you know, you shouldn't fear death. You know, if it happens, it happens, and it's part of life. You need to embrace some things.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Cool. Another interesting thing that caught my ear is Luminary. In contrast, this is a more, this one has more grit. It's got teeth, and although it's ambient, and there's like voices through this track, and it also Luminary was another one of these tracks. It just has these layers in it that really caught my attention. I was curious if you could tell me a little bit more about the inspiration for Luminary.
Yeah, Luminary is really exciting to me as well, because it is part of a big interactive showcase that I'm presenting right now. I just presented it in the Dome in a wonderful Festival of the Future in Munich. And it's a collaboration with a visual artist, Anke Schiemann, and an ex-art coder who goes by the artist name of Slash P. The showcase is called Luminescence, and it has 5 songs, and Luminary is one of those. And these songs are composed in a way that basically the song is, that the core of the song is the drums, it's a bass line, and it's my vocals. And the other layers that come in are triggered through augmented reality by the audience, live, when I'm performing. So it's a truly interactive live mixed reality performance when the showcase happens. And then I thought, yeah, but I also want to release the song on streaming platforms, right? Mm-hmm. And so I figured, okay, cool. So this is my version of the song, because when I play the show, the song will always sound slightly different depending on when the audience is triggering which audio sample. So it's never the exact same song, no matter like how very often I'm going to perform it. And so on Spotify or SoundCloud or whatever your favorite platform is,
Bandcamp,
you can hear my version of the song. This is me playing the audio samples at different times, and yeah, it's really a beautiful experience. It was a lot of thinking and work to actually compose that way and make it work. But I started composing and working and producing interactive sound exhibitions in 2021, and all that experience led up to this project, which I'm super excited about.
There's so much to this track than I had expected. That's so fascinating. And so you're saying like every time you're performing it live, it's going to be slightly different than any other time, because it's also part of it is the audience interaction.
Exactly. Basically, the audience becomes the band. So I'm not just a solo performer, but everybody in the audience, if they opt in, they can. If you don't want to participate, you can simply enjoy a wonderful audiovisual concert. But if you are down to, and if you would like to participate, you can, and then you're part of the band, a band member.
I think that's really fascinating to be the bringing in the audience like that, making the show interactive for the audience. I think a lot of people would enjoy that experience.
Yeah, so far so good. We presented it in Munich and at South by Southwest in March, and I'm booked now in July for the U.S. General Consul's residency to perform that, and this will be like very interesting to have such a like completely different audience. So this is also something that I'm interested in. Like I played at, we presented the show at a music festival, like where you what people expect a concert and not something interactive involving new technologies. Yet people really had a lot of fun, you know, and the people who didn't participate said, hey, that was a great concert. So this is exactly it, right? People can choose their own experience as well, right? You can simply like have fun and dance along, or you can become a part of it if you would like to. And then South by Southwest, of course, like you have like this whole tech audience. So that was interesting to see them having fun because that's just like their home turf. But AR with music was kind of new because usually AR is a very like visual or like only visual medium. And just to see that, that's really, really awesome for me as a performer as well.
Very cool. I was also curious about, I believe it's maybe an EP, Shock Therapy, that you put out back in, I think, 2021. And I listened to it on Bandcamp, of course. And I was on my bike pedaling to work and just listening through this album. And I heard a remix and it really caught my ear going, oh, this was really cool. And I look at the track and it's Add Clarity, Travarsi's Live Modular Mix was like the one that really caught my ear. And like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. I know Travarsi and this, and she does this, and she's really good at doing this. So that makes so much sense. I was really happy about it because this is someone I know, and we mutually have a relationship with Travarsi. I was curious about how did you get involved with Travarsi on getting Travarsi to do a remix of your track?
Honestly, I'm not quite sure like what the hen egg, like what came first, but because the SoCal Synth Society also did an online concert during the NAMMless festival. And I was invited to that. And I'm not quite sure if this was first or the EP was first. At least like we knew each other because our paths had crossed. And I adore her work. I mean, she's really, really amazing. And then I thought I wanted to do an EP that was a full-blown audiovisual album. Of course, it's released as on Bandcamp as an audio album as well. But the original version is an audiovisual album. So it is three remixers, but five visual artists. Like my two songs also have like visuals to it. And that was just something that excited me to work with all these amazing, like everybody who worked on this album is, in my opinion, like a superstar in their field. And when I talked to Travarsi about the remix and she agreed to do it, I was like, yay. I told her that I would love to do this concert, that it's supposedly an audiovisual piece. And then she was like, oh yeah, okay, cool. And I know somebody who might really be interested in doing the visuals. And so we had a lot of fun doing that together. Yeah, I would love to come to the West Coast and see her play. I mean, she's all around, but yeah, that was always like a dream, or even do something together. That would be super cool.
I'm sure it could happen. I'm quite positive that could happen still.
That would be great.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of West Coast, so our mutual friend Kale Duarte, Audio Terrorist, connected us. I was curious, how did you meet Caleb Dort?
Yeah, I also don't know. Like he interviewed me for one of his podcasts, but I'm not quite sure how we actually met. I think he might have stumbled across my profile online, or somebody told him about me, perhaps. That was a while ago. So honestly, I'm not good with these things. I feel like people are in my life, and then it's like they have been in my life since forever. I don't actually know. But yeah, and then I came across like his music and an audio terrorist, and I was like, wow, this is really amazing. So I had the I knew him as a podcaster, a video podcaster first, and then I dove into his music.
Cool. Yeah, he's become, I have met him actually here in the Bay Area. I'm in San Francisco, and he and I ran into each other just by chance. I think it was maybe 2019. And again, we had a mutual friend, our friend Frank Martin. We were all at this electronic music meetup called Resident here in San Francisco, which is still running. And it was in the Mission District back then at a place called the Laundromat. And Frank goes, "This is Corey. Corey, this is Caleb." And we started chatting. And I had already had started a podcast back in 2019, which were, this is it. And then within that evening, I said, "Hey, Caleb, do you want to come over and do an interview with me?" And he says, "Oh yeah, okay." And the next day he came to my house and we chatted for a good hour. And we've been friends ever since. He's always been such a supportive friend. His music is great. And anytime I'm in town, because like he and his wife moved up to Seattle. Last time I was out there a couple of years ago, he came out with and hung out with my girlfriend and I. And we walked around town and got dinner together. And he's just one of the nicest people to know.
Yeah, amazing. That's really cool. Yeah, it was so fun too, because at South by Southwest, I also played the Balanced Breakfast Showcase. And yes. Caleb was like, "Hey, there's a couple of friends of mine performing there as well." And so I got to know them. And that was also like, it's great to get connected and to get to know people from the community. Especially because Balanced Breakfast, I mean, it's nationwide, but it's very big in the San Francisco area and on the West Coast. So that was really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I was going to also ask, like, your artist name. It seems to just kind of be part of your personality, but I don't want to assume anything. But I was curious about how you came about with your artist name.
Yeah, I thought I would like an artist name that clarifies immediately that I'm a female music producer. I've been in the music business for such a long time, and honestly, like I can still remember like when I got to gigs in the 90s, people were just like, "Ah, so, and you are what, the girlfriend of the guitar player?" And I'm like, "Well, no, I'm a part of the band." And that just happened. And it was always like the assumption that I would not be the person that actually wrote the songs, but the male guitar player or the male bass player would be the people who wrote the songs, right? And so I was just fed up with that. So I figured I want a band name or an artist name that is immediately pointing the finger that I'm a female music producer, even if people don't see a picture or don't know me or whatever. And then I thought, I was just very pragmatic. I'm like, okay, everything is already taken, right? You have Queen Latifah, you have Lady Gaga, you have all Missy Elliott. Everything is already taken, you know? And so I thought, I will just take the pronoun. And then I figured, now I need an adjective that is just like my essence. And this is the adjective that I picked for that.
Wow. That makes so much sense. Thank you for walking me through the process of creating a female forward name. That makes so much sense. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, again, Anne, thank you again for doing this. Is there anything coming up that you wanted to mention that I am not aware of? Any upcoming shows that you want to mention?
Well, unfortunately, the upcoming shows are not accessible for everybody. As I said, I was booked for this private event. That's really funny. But something that is quite exciting for me is that with my alternative rock duo, we're called Superwave, we're going to release our double EP in fall. And this is going to be something really, really cool. I'm going to travel to Austria for the video shoot and for the whole PR thing end of July, because my brother lives there and we're going to meet there and shoot everything. So this is something to look out for. And then, yeah, she's excited. I'm going to release music as well from the Luminescence project, where Luminary is a part of, like, more and more songs are going to be released. Looks like we're booked for a couple of festivals in Germany in fall. Everything is just in the making. But the moment that I actually know the dates, it's always on my website or Instagram at @she's_excited is my handle. And people will always find the information.
That's really cool. Well, thank you, Anne, so much. And I'm looking forward to hearing Superwave. This is the duo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Super WAV.
Super WAV. Okay. I want to hear it as soon as I know that it's out. I want to hear this album. It sounds amazing.
Cool. Yeah. It's going to be an EP in two different stages. One is going to be the rock spin, like in quantum physics, and one is going to be the electronic spin. It's going to be really exciting. Wow. And then you can choose what you like better and what your favorite is.
You have this is so cool. I love the way that you lay out your work so that the audience can kind of choose their own journey.
Yep.
And the way that you present your work, you know, within it being a collaboration between the artists and then also the audience, and then the audience has the opportunity to choose almost their adventure.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what I want to.
I love.
I want people to draw in and to be able to play and find their own thing within my thing. that will be nice. Yeah.
And thank you so much for this. This was really wonderful.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.